They're amazing. The issue is electronics are the devil. But how many have had a good week? Yeah, a couple of you. Sweet. There's more than normal. How many have had a week? Couple. How many have one of those weeks where you're like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel, let it be over? But we're happy to be here. I'm happy to be here. What a beautiful place to be in the house of the Lord with my church family. Before we jump into the message, I just want to say New Life Church has become proud sponsors of the Quarterback Club and the Conrad Cowboys and Cowgirls. And that means we got a jersey. And what this means is that our church, we sponsored one of their quarterback club dinners. And just a big shout out to our hospitality team for putting that on for us this week. Can we give them a round of applause? They did a fabulous job. They fed some 100 some people, I guess. I don't know what the number was, but we're going to get that stuff framed because we're proud of our Conrad Cowboys and Cowgirls. And just excited about that. And, but yeah, here we are. Here we are. I'm excited to be here. It's been a week. Some of you know my week. Some of you don't want to know my week. But we are just glad to be in the house of the Lord with my church family. Amen. And most of you missed the memo. It was Jersey Sunday. And you can't go boo on the Bears because I wore my jersey. The best team. You didn't wear yours. You must not be proud of your team. Just saying. No boos to the Bears because you did not represent. Nada. It's all good. It's all good. One more shout out. Next Sunday, I didn't know that this was a national day, but next Sunday is the National Back to Church Day. Yeah. Do you know that? I didn't know that till this year. But next Sunday is National Back to Church Day. So that means get your rear ends back to church and invite somebody that needs to be in church. Let's invite people. Let's celebrate Back to Church Sunday, however that looks. I just found out about it this week, and it was like, man, I wish I'd have known that a month ago. We'd have made something happen, but it's not back to church Sunday next week. I'm excited about that. It is summer. Summer is my favorite time of year, except for with church, because y'all have to go take vacations and stuff like that, and then I was gone. Yes, ma'am. Sunday, yeah. National, where are all my grandparents? Stand up. Represent National Grandparents Day. Yeah. I don't think I'm ever going to be one. No. Grandparents, that's the gift that you get. You get grandchildren, and that's your reward for not killing your kids when they were built, right? That's what I was told, but no. Well, happy Grandparents Day. That's exciting. I didn't know that. I know that September 19th is Talk Like a Pirate Day. So we'll remind you about that. So walk around, which reminds me of a joke. You know what the favorite letter of the alphabet is to a pirate?
R.
You'd like to think so, but it's the C. Yeah, I got y'all. Yeah. You guys are in trouble. Oh, man, no. I'm excited. I'm excited to worship Jesus. I'm excited to be in his word. We're wrapping up the series Pause this week. And we have gone through, the whole series was kind of based off what God was breathing into me in my own personal spiritual walk about Sabbath and about taking pause and resting and all those things. So we kind of looked at what God's perspective of the Sabbath was and what is included. So we've walked through beating the busyness of life and then matching God's rhythms of rest. And then we looked at meditating on God's word and his goodness. And we also talked about creating margin in our lives. And last week we talked about pausing to hear God. Today we're going to wrap it all up, and I want to look at pausing in God's presence. Pausing in God's presence. And man, this one above, well, all of them have been, like I had shared, I am teaching as I am learning, right? And this one is right up in my grill. And I'm excited about it. My wife was actually, I was reading through it last night, and she just laughing at me, pointing at me. And I'm like, stop. But we're going to look at pausing in God's presence. The concept of pause, if I haven't proven it yet, the concept of it is deeply biblical, right? And last week I shared one of the most profound scriptures about pause, and that's Psalms 46:10. Anybody know what it says? Be still and know that I am God. Short verse, profound in its statement, right? This verse invites us to cease striving so hard in life. I mean, not necessarily working hard, but striving at trying to be all this and be able to handle everything in life and recognize God's sovereignty and his power in our lives, right? It's not just about physical stillness, but it's also about quieting our hearts and our minds to be able to attune to God's voice. We get so busy, we get caught up in so many things, and our mind and our heart gets cluttered with all the noise, and we can't tune into God's voice. And so that's where we've been walking through and looking at. And so throughout the Bible, we've seen many different examples of people who've paused and reflected on God's presence. For example, we've talked about David and how often he retreated to quiet places to seek God, as we see in so many of the Psalms where he pours out his heart to God in those times. And we looked at several different scriptures showing that Jesus regularly withdrew to solitary places to pray and spend time with the Father. Pause allows us to reset our focus and just reset our focus, period, on God and recalibrate our priorities and refresh our spirit. It is such a powerful thing that I know that I now need this in my life on a regular basis, and I can confidently say that we all do. And it's remarkable. I was talking to somebody this week about how it was when we were kids, right? It's like we had no worries. You know, if you grew up in the 80s, it was like you go play, and then the rule was, at least in my house, you had to be back in your yard when the streetlights came on. And it was just nothing. And it felt like life was forever taking forever, right? Especially summer, you know, school season, when you're a student, it's like, oh, school sucks. It's so long. And then summers go by really fast, right? And then something happens when you graduate high school, and then you go and you get a little older, and then what happens to time? It's like the hand on the clock's just go. I mean, it could be a fan, right? It feels like it's blowing by. I do not feel like I should be 54 years old. My body feels like it's 54. And my brain tries to write checks my body can't cash anymore. But it's like, holy cow, you think back, it doesn't feel like I've been out of high school 35 years or whatever. Graduated in 88, somebody do the math, I don't. Long time, not as long as some, way longer than others. I'm right there. But do you hear what I'm saying? Does it feel that way for you guys? And it's like now, it's like with all of the things in life and all the busyness of life, now we really more than ever need to learn how to pause. And like I said before, pause reminds us that we are not defined by our busyness, but by our relationship with God, right? But again, we have become so addicted to stimuli. That's a cool word. Stimuli. Everybody say that with me. Stimuli. Don't we sound so smart, intelligent? Stimuli. But we've become addicted to stimuli as a society. Pauses have become a label that is more awkward, right? Would you agree with that? It's like, it's awkward. And I looked up the word awkward in the dictionary, and this is what it's defined as. Awkward is lacking skill, expertness, ease of grace, or the right proportions, causing embarrassment. Now, the presence of God is not awkward. The presence of God is powerful. Powerful. And so when we pause in the presence of God, can I just tell you, don't feel awkward. That's where God wants us, right? That's where he wants us. The presence of God is not awkward or lacking. It's powerful. The presence, the word presence is defined as the state or fact of being present as with others or in a place, immediate vicinity and proximity. I love the passage of scripture that says that where two or three are gathered in his name, so he is there. And that God, another one says, God inhabits the praises of his people. So guess what? We just did that together with an amazing worship team. They led us into the presence of God today. Since there are this many people, even if there was three of us, God would be there. I believe it wholeheartedly. And when we begin to praise and worship his name, the Spirit of God inhabits this place. So right now, you are in the presence of God. So can we do something that we've done just about every week? Can we just take 30 seconds and pause? Just put your stuff down. Just close your eyes. No distraction. Close your eyes. Kids, you can do this too. Close your eyes. Teenagers, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Let it in. Let it out. Keep doing that for the next 30 seconds, allowing your spirit to just reset and experience the presence of God. Here we go. All right, you can wake back up. Doesn't that feel refreshing just to do that? I mean, 30 seconds, that's not very long. I can almost hold my breath for 30 seconds. Almost, I think. I don't know. I'm not going to try because I'll pass out and hit the table and it's going to break and communion elements all over. But why do we fight against that? Man, I keep saying this, but out now we live on this farm, way out. But it's like to sit outside and just be. It's like, oh my gosh, where has this been all my life? You know, it's amazing when we create this margin in our life and we create pause in our life. In the Hebrew and the Greek of the Old New Testaments, the word presence, the word often used for God's presence, is translated as in front of, or facing, or before. Isn't that awesome? The presence of God, you are in front of God. You're facing God. You're before him. It kind of reminds me of back in the ancient times when they had kings, right? You had to come before him. You had to bow and you had to be invited, right? If they didn't invite you, you could be smited. It's a good Old Testament word. You were smited. Smoted? Smote. Smote. Right? God invites us, and we're going to talk about this. And I love that, to be in front of God, to be before God. And when we are in his presence, the presence of God, we tap into a profound source of peace and strength when we pause and we enter God's presence. It's profound. So let's look at it. Peace in his presence. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 reminds us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and by every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, everybody say the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, you remember way back when we were in the series Think, and we talked about the science, the medical science has figured out that the portion of our brain that is stressed and anxious and anxiety comes from cannot be engaged when the portion of our brain for thanksgiving and thankfulness is engaged, right? God created our brain that way, and now science is just catching up. We've known this for how long in Scripture? God's plan, right? The peace of his presence. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't stress about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace comes when we deliberately pause and place ourselves before God, trusting him in all our circumstances, right? My wife laughed at me about this one because I'm preaching to the preacher. In all circumstances, put our trust in him. Why is it so hard for us as human beings to put our trust, our whole trust in God? Why is it so hard? I have often thought about that. It's like I put all my trust in my wife. I don't have a problem trusting my wife with everything. But the creator of the universe, who spoke the planets and the stars into existence, that very spoke everything into existence, we can't trust him, right? Doesn't that sound a little bit dumb? I think so. That peace, God wants to give us peace when we deliberately pause and place ourselves before him, trusting him with all of our concerns. Strengthen his presence. Isaiah 40, verse 31, and many of us know this verse, says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles and run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Sound familiar? You know, we like that verse. And this verse speaks to the spiritual and the emotional renewal of spending time with God brings. Isn't that cool? But yet we struggle spending time with God. I'm too busy. Right? If you're that busy, you need to spend more time with God. It just seems to be logical, in my opinion, but, you know, who am I? I don't know anything. I'm just a Bears fan. And when we pause, you can't dog me, you didn't wear a jersey. When we pause, we are reminded of God's strength that sustains us, right? and especially when we feel weary and or burdened. You know, here's the thing though, to be in God's presence, we've got to understand where his presence is found, right? Where it's found. So let's look at that for a second or two here. Acts chapter 7, verse 44 to 48 says, our fathers had the tent of witness. And is this that one that was a weird scripture, Charity? Yes, it is. I'm going to do a different translation. I can do it on my, what am I doing? I got a Bible right in front of me. Oh my gosh. Calgon, take me away. All right, chapter 7, verse 44 through 48. I looked it up in the ESV version, the English Standard Version, and there's a word in there that I can't say, to be honest. Verse 44 through 48 says this. Our forefathers had the tabernacle of the testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern he had seen. Having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne, and it goes on and on and on. So back in Old Testament times, it was the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies within the tabernacle that God's presence was, right? But when Jesus fulfilled all of the prophecies throughout and came and paid the ultimate price, that it said that when he gave up his spirit, what happened to the curtain in the Holy of Holies? It tore in half, right? Tore in half, which symbolized that the Holy Spirit is God's presence, and it's for everyone, not just the high priests that go in and do the offerings on our behalf. We now have the awesome privilege of having the Holy Spirit in our lives, the promised Holy Spirit that is God's presence in our lives, right? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Jesus made a way for us to be in the presence of God at all times. I'm going to try that one again, Jim. I'm going to come down. Now you got me off the stage. You're in trouble. Jesus made a way. You guys got to get this. Jesus made a way for us to have the Spirit of God in our lives at all times. That's a little better. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. This is good. Come on. We no longer have to take bulls and things like that and get them killed and sacrificed, and then a dude on our behalf walking into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat on our behalf. We don't have to have that. When you accept the gift of grace and the salvation of Jesus Christ, when you accept that, the Bible tells us that we have the Holy Spirit within us. That's God's presence. In your life, all the time. You don't have to come to this building to be in the presence of God. Oh my gosh. We need more coffee. He made the way, right? What is the presence of God? It is found in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus said to his disciples that I have to go so the one that was promised can come to be with you always. Woo! You guys must be like Cincinnati Bengals fans or something. Yeah. This year, probably. Last year, definitely. Right? There was the evidence of the promise where God is in us. Where, what isn't the presence of God? Can I just tell you, the presence of God is not a feeling? It's not this bizarre or weird manifestation of a behavior. It's not that. It's not the absence of trouble. It's not good luck or favor. It's the presence of God is the Holy Spirit that is with us always. God's promise of his presence. Exodus chapter 33, verse 13 through 14. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Isn't it remarkable that that part is there? And he said, my presence will go with you, and what? And I will give you rest. Isn't that just the coolest thing to think about when you are pausing in his presence? The second thing that happens is what? Rest. And then Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. Lost my spot. Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence. So how do we position ourselves in God's presence? Now, we have the Holy Spirit within us, right? We've already established that. That's awesome, right? Yeah. It's awesome. We have the presence. So how do we position ourselves in God's presence? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your all your heart. All your heart. Right? It's that if you do this, I will do this. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You will, not maybe, or if you're lucky, or maybe on the third Thursday and the second Tuesday of every month, you'll find me. No, you will find me. In James 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves this, therefore, blah, 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 to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and what? He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Right? So we position ourselves in God's presence by first praying. Communicating with God. Prayer. Prayer is a way to position yourself. Spending time not just asking for things, but we learned last week, listening to the voice of God. Listening to God during these times of prayer. Listen to both the word of God and the silence between them. Right? Listen. The second way we position ourselves is that very thing, getting in the word of God. How many times have you heard me tell you that you are not going to learn about God and what he wants for you by putting your Bible under your pillow and go to sleep at night, hoping that osmosis is going to take place and it's going to suck into your brain? That dog don't hunt. Getting in the word of God on a regular basis and saying, God, show me you. Show me you. Getting in the word of God. And if you've not ever been in the word of God, don't start in the Old Testament. Please don't. Especially Leviticus, Numbers. Unless you got insomnia, then you can read Numbers and First Chronicles. Those two right there, because it's all about who begat who. And you're going, right? Read the Bible. The third is worship through song. Man, the one thing that I have started doing since we moved is on the way home, I just listened to worship music the whole way. The whole way. I just worship and just sing praises to God on the way home. In his presence. It is so, you ever have those songs that when, as soon as you hear the first licks of that song, you get goosebumps and it just takes you right to the throne room? Oh my gosh. I have several of those songs that are on a loop on my playlist on my phone. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it's just like you just get time warped right into the presence of God. You're standing in the throne and he's right there. But just worship. When we come here, the reason that worship is such a vital part of our gathering on Sundays is it helps us to be able to scrape off the week and to focus on God and say, God, here I am. I'm singing to you. I'm worshiping you. I want you. I want to be in your presence. I want to grow in you. And we sing. That helps position us into the presence of God. I believe wholeheartedly. That's why he says he inhabits the praises of his people. It's such a vital part. And we should be able to position ourselves. And if we ever get our act together here and turn the lights out to help create a little bit of that, it's my fault. But it's like to be able to just not worry about who's around me or what I sound like or any of that stuff. I'm here to worship you, Jesus. I don't care what I sound like. I don't care who's next to me. I'm just going to worship my Creator, my Savior. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about anything else at this point. I just want you. And you can tell the times in this body who, when you guys are ready for that and when you're not. You can tell. But can I just encourage us that, man, what an amazing opportunity that we have to come together with the best worship team ever to lead us into the throne room of God and just say, God, here I am. I worship you. I have postured myself to worship you. You are my focus, not the farm, not the store, not the children that are driving me insane, not anything but you. And when we get positioned for that, it is just like what brings up number four, just to be with him. I was reading this book this last week, and the author made this statement that just rocked me. He says, I believe that God wants us to be spiritual. And he clarified, not spiritual as in the world would put it, but to focus on him and his spirit, to focus on our relationship with him. He says, I believe God is looking for people who want to know him, rest in him, and love him. That's worth writing down if you're a note taker. I believe God is looking for people who want to know him, want to rest in him and love him. And I read this scripture last week in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. And it's kind of an irony thing, but he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. He's talking to Elijah, right? And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains up and broke it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? God was drawing Elijah, wanting him to be in his presence, right? Teaching him to listen to the voice of God and where to find the word of God. So what is the takeaway today? What is our takeaway? And I believe it's this. when we make a habit of pausing in God's presence, it begins to transform our lives. We will have a deeper relationship with God. Regularly pausing allows us to deepen our relationship with God. It shifts our focus. And this is such an important thing. It shifts our focus from our circumstances to God's character, fostering a closer, more intimate relationship with Him. And when we have this habit of pausing, we'll have a renewed perspective. Pausing helps us gain a fresh perspective on life. It reminds us of God's sovereignty and His ability to handle everything that concerns us, that we so often forget. And it allows us to see our challenges in light of God's greatness, right? And then it will also bring this inner peace and joy. When we pause, we experience the peace and joy that comes from being in God's presence. It's a peace that the world can never give you or I. You or I, you or me, whatever's grammar right there. Right? It can never give us. And it's not dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on us stepping into the presence of God. Peace I give you, Jesus said. Peace I give you. I just came, this it's not in my notes, it's not on PowerPoint, this passage of scripture in Psalms popped into my head. Listen to this. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Did you just get goosebumps? Let me read that part again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. He who dwells and pauses in the presence of God, right? Will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. That's the epitome of being in the presence of God. When we pause in the presence of God, we find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps to even think about. The God of the universe that spoke everything into existence, that we are still trying to figure out the smallest portion of His creation, says you can find rest and refuge in the shadow of the Almighty, in the presence of the Almighty. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? It is so amazing. That was David. David talking about stepping into the presence of God. Man, I don't know about you, but that's just good stuff. Good stuff. Why is it that we struggle positioning ourselves into the presence of God? I believe wholeheartedly that we, as Christ followers, need to create a habit of pause. We need to create a habit of pause in our life, to beat the busyness of life, to create margin, to follow the rhythms of rest that God has created already, to begin to listen to the voice of God, and to be able to pause in His presence. So let me wrap this up this morning before we go to communion time. We must remember, we got to wrap our mind around this, that pausing in God's presence is not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's a necessity. It's a spiritual discipline that draws us closer to Him and anchors us in His presence and in his peace and strength. So I encourage all of us, preaching to the preacher, to intentionally embrace moments of pause in our daily lives. I don't think my heart is. I'm paused. Pause. I need a drink now. We need to intentionally embrace moments of pause in our daily lives. So let's be still. Let's be still and know that He is God. And let's find rest in His presence, knowing that He is always with us and He's always ready to renew and strengthen us. And my prayer is that we become a people who know the power and the peace of pausing in the presence of our Almighty God. The pause allows us to hear the still small voice, God's whisper. Amen. I'm going to invite those that are going to serve communion to come. And as they come, if you are a guest with us, we have open communion here at New Life. Simply means is if you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to partake of communion with us. We just ask that after you've been served that you would hold the emblems so we can take it as a family. Amen.
just for you. Do this in remembrance. Hold the bread. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we hold this bread, we remember you and thank you for the body of Christ. We bless you for who you are, Jesus. Thank you for coming and having your body broken and going through not only death, but Jesus, you took the beatings for us and the piercings for us. You did so much. God, thank you for giving your son. Blessed be your name for all that you have done to make a path back to you. It's in his brokenness that we are made whole. And we have the hope
Verse 26, for whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, again, we thank you. We thank you for your gift of grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor, your grace. We thank you for the freedom that we find when living by your Spirit, your presence.